Assalamu alaikum. This is Maliha Teaches for Muslim Health Talk. What exactly does Muslim Health Talk mean? It means nourishing our body, nourishing our soul, nourishing our mind, and nourishing our heart. And the best way of doing that is following the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and instilling it in our daily life. Let's get started. Bismillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma zidni ilman. O Allah, please increase us in knowledge. So inshallah, today's Monday. And I know that many people, when they think of Monday, they think of, oh my gosh, I had such a great weekend and I don't want to start work tomorrow. So Monday is kind of like a negative thing for many people. But it shouldn't be. SubhanAllah, like Monday is a blessed day. It might not be Jummah, it might not be Friday, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an extra 52 days of small little Eids, right? Friday is considered a small little Eid, where we're supposed to take a shower, where we're supposed to cut our nails, where we're supposed to dress nicely, where we're supposed to make sure that we do something fun and festive and go to Jummah prayer and especially make dua, like lots of dua, because it's an hour on Friday that our dua is accepted, right? We don't know when that is, but there is a time. But in the same note, subhanAllah, like Mondays are an amazing day. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, was a blessing was given to all of creation, not just humanity, but the entire universe was blessed with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, right? He has created the world for. He is our role model, right? The most important person that we need to know more about. Mondays shouldn't be thought of like, oh my God, I have to go to work, it's something horrible. It should be something beautiful. So I decided like every Monday, inshallah, I will have Seerah Mondays. So I will talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Seerah, you know, his life story. And I'm not going to go very fast. I'm going to try to do it slowly so that we can gain knowledge. And I feel like if we do something really good on Mondays, you know, be in a gathering where we remember Allah, when we remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're going to get, inshallah, the reward of doing good deeds on a Monday, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the world on a Monday. He also left the world on a Monday. He became a prophet on a Monday. So he got Nabuwa on Mondays. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the Battle of Badr and they won the battle on a Monday. So there's many, many blessed dates and events that occurred on Monday. So mashallah, let's try to think of Mondays as something beautiful. If we fast on a Monday, we get so much reward, right? So much reward. Any ibadah we get, maybe we get more reward than usual, right? Because it's such a beautiful day. So Seerah Mondays, that's what I'm going to call this, inshallah. And when we gather together like this and we discuss the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we learn about even the smallest little thing, right? SubhanAllah, I don't know very much, but the little that I know, my teachers are always encouraging me to teach. You cannot always just hold on to information and be selfish about it. You must give. Even if, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, even if you know a little bit, share it with the world. Teach them, right? And when we are in a gathering like this and we talk about something beneficial, something that will make us better, we gain so much reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his angels, whoever's in that gathering, listening, teaching, speaking, asking questions, it doesn't matter who it is, even if they're saying absolutely nothing, forgive every single one of those people in that gathering. And now somebody might, you know, an angel might say, hey, Maliha in that gathering is very sinful. I don't think she deserves to be forgiven. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, that's okay. Forgive her as well. You know, she really doesn't want to be here though. Like, she's just faking it. It's okay. Forgive her. Like, subhanAllah, which gathering of people are we ever treated as if we're doing so much good? So mashallah, I hope inshallah you guys benefit. Please keep all of us in your du'as. So that says so much about learning and increasing our knowledge, even in the slightest and smallest way. And so inshallah we can benefit from one another. So the word seerah itself, right? So the word seerah itself means walking a path, traversing, you know, a path that someone walks, a life direction that someone lives. It literally means the biography of someone, right? So Siratul Nabawi is the biography, the way of life, the sunnah acts, who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is. And so that is why the word seerah means biography. So in Surah Taha, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa alayhi salam, he asked him, he said, "What is in your hand, ya Musa?" And so the Musa alayhi salam, you know, he said, "It's my staff," because Musa alayhi salam is one of the prophets, was the only prophet who actually was able to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And when he was able to, he got nervous. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "What's in your hand?" to kind of get the jitters out of him. And he said, "It's my staff," right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Throw it, you know, throw it, and then we will return it to its seerah, to its original form." So seerah, to its original shape, to the physical form, the act and the way we look and the way we talk and the way we do things, that is the original seerah, the form. So all of these is inclusive of what a person is. So when we talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and seerah, it's his biography, who he was. So why would we want to learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seerah, right? We know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to not just humans but all of humanity as the best of example, right? The best of role model, right? We know that he is the perfect example for us. And yet we live in a world where we have kind of moved away from that, right? And focused, maybe not us, but sadly, like our young people, our children have somehow, some way, because of all the influencers on social media or TV or wherever it is, they have, or the movies or the TV shows, they have been flooded with different people as being their role model, you know, someone that they look up to. And this kind of is one of the reasons, or maybe even the main reason, why we feel like, I mean, I don't know about you, but I have four children and all four are teenage and above, two of which are in college. And my biggest fear is that they will, you know, look up to somebody that doesn't necessarily have the best of example to show them. And even though when our children were little, they would look up to us, right? We know that because whatever we did, they mimicked it right away. You know, I remember when my husband and I used to pray, and my kids tiny little prayer rugs, right, from Medina, and he would roll it just the way his father did. He would set it out just the way his father did. And even if he didn't know how we were praying or why we were praying, he would mimic every single step the way we did it. And that is because they looked up to us. They wanted to be just like us. And so we want to continue to have that for our kids. But the sad part is that I feel like as a society, especially because we live in America, you know, we live in in this society, our focus on who should be our example has swayed. We might not have been the cause of that. We know we send our kids to school. They're around different people. It automatically, everyone has a phone in their hand. They're looking at certain social media places, and they see certain people that they gravitate towards. And all of a sudden, they make them the role model. And the scary part is that if that person is a good influence, then wonderful, alhamdulillah. But if they are not such a great influence, they kind of slowly take our kids in a direction that wouldn't be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that the best of examples is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though some might think, well, if we spoke to our kids, they might think, well, he's been around 1400 years ago. Is he really someone I can look up to? They might not say it, but we were young once, right? Is he really somebody who I can look up to? Is he really something that I could be? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent him as the perfect example. And sometimes we forget, right? And we get sidetracked. And so my effort is that in order for us to follow someone as a role model, as an example, and do as they do, and be as they were, the characteristics, the sunnah acts, we have to learn who he is, right? We have to understand what type of person he was. So I think it's very crucial. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, show me your friends and I will show you who you are. So the people around us who we surround ourselves with, and especially our children, because they're so what's the word? They listen to or take up the habits and the ways of their friends so easily, they become them, right? So I think most of us as parents see that and understand that and know that as a problem. So if we learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who he was, we can have discussions with them and speak about him, and hopefully, inshallah, bring his life into reality so that they realize that this is an important role model. We can be like this person, right? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, let's see. So we may not be blessed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our presence, the way the Sahabis were, and how he walked on the earth, but we are immensely blessed in having him as an example. And the fact that he is, resting under the Ummatul Hijra, which is the green dome, when we go to Medina to Nabawi. So when we read about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will begin to feel like he is real, right? He's not just a historical person that we read about and we know about. And I remember when growing up, I honestly, like we would say, I would say the Shahada, we would say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, but honestly, I had no idea who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was until a certain age. I think it was about 10 or 13. And the first time I heard it, I said, yeah, I've been saying this over and over and over again so many times, but yet I honestly do not know who he is. But when I did learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I felt like, wow, like this is definitely a real person. And unfortunately, I feel like our young don't realize that, right? When they read about historical people, I mean, even when I read about historical people, even though I know it's someone that has been alive and was around at one point or another, it's not someone I can actually relate to, right? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his characteristics and what he did and how he sat and what he ate and how he ate and all these things, there's no other human being that there has been so much detail written, texts and volumes written about, except for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khadija, Aisha radiallahu anha, his youngest wife, who lived even beyond past. After he passed away, she
was also a scholar, and she wrote so many hadiths. She was one of the, seven most hadith writers. So she had written 2,210 hadith, and hadith are sayings that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And not only did she write down what he said, but she wrote down the commentary, like why he said it, for what reason, what was the question written about it. And she would write about details, like even what they did in the privacy of their home. So we can get to know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very personal and intimate way because of all this information that is at our, at our dispense and our, at our that we can gain knowledge from, but we have to make the effort, right? We have to learn about it and slowly teach our kids just by talking about it when we're either driving in the car, because usually it's an easier way to speak to them because they can't really move around, right? I always use that situation when I'm sitting in the car and I have learned something. And I start talking because I know everyone's seat belted. They can't really get out of the car. They can't really leave unless they have something in their ears, which you could probably say, "Hey, can you take that off for a few minutes? I have something to say." And when you begin to learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you begin to love him. And when I say love, it's not the kind of love that we think of in our life. Oh, I'm in love with this, or I'm in love with that. No, you begin to realize that he has sacrificed so much for us as an ummah that you can't not love him, right? So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to go to Isra and Miraj, which is the time that he went up to heaven and he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the only one who came face to face with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spoke to him. And even at that point, because there were so many levels of heaven, and he went from one to the next. He, an angel Jibril alayhi salam, accompanied him all the way. But when he got to that point where he was able to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, angel Jibril alayhi salam said, "I cannot go any further, because if I do, I will just get disintegrated. Like I will just burn." Right? You are the only one who's able to. And when he gets there, what does he ask for? He remembers his ummah. He says, "Ummatul," he always remembers his ummah, which is us. We are his ummah. We are the his people that followed him. And so that like makes you realize no matter what, no matter where, he could have asked for whatever he wanted for himself. He didn't have to remember us. He could have spoken about something else, but he kept on saying, "Ummah, my ummah. What about my ummah? What about my ummah? What will happen to my people?" So his concern for us, like it's amazing. Like when we and we know this because on the day of judgment, when everyone is worried about themselves, it's all nafsi nafsi, no matter how much your spouse loves you, or no matter how much your parents love you and would do anything for you, and no matter how much you love your child, on the day of judgment, we'll all be very, very selfish because we want to get the most good deeds because everything gets weighed on a scale. And so we don't want to be we don't want to burn in the hellfire. And so we're like running around gaining good deeds from other people, trying to have a loftier or a heavier scale on the scale of good deeds so we can save ourselves. But yet when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no matter where he was, he would always remember us. So that like it just fills your heart when you think about it, right? There's no one that ever would do that for us except for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so it says that I only have 7 minutes. So if the Zoom ends, I still want to kind of continue until 6. So I'll just log back on. And if you guys don't mind, just try logging back on, okay? So we have like another 7 minutes. So in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةُ الْحَسَنَةِ," which means indeed in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the best, the perfect example to be emulated. And uswatul hasana means the best, right? The most beautiful. And most definitely, there is no doubt consistently there that there is for us, for you, within the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is for all of us the ultimate, the excellent role model. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares this in the Quran and tells us that, you know, fi Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the only ultimate role model. And the only way we can actually walk through his steps, understand who he was, gain the blessings from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, is that if we immerse ourselves in his life and learn about his seerah. So there is a hadith that's a very beautiful hadith, and it's it goes like this. So qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a person, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba, which means that a person will be with the one he loves. So a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, you know, oh messenger of Allah, what do you say about someone who loves a group of people but they are unable to join them? So during the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's time in Medina, there were times when they would go to an expedition, which is a battle. And many people could not go to that expedition, and they would want to go, but they had like an elderly mother to take care of or somebody else. And so they would want to know, like, what am I going to do? Because I know the best thing for me to do is go to this battle with you. And so they would ask and say, what about the people who want to be with a group of people, but they cannot? What will happen to them? You know, And sometimes they meant the group of people that they were speaking about was the group of knowledgeable people, the group of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with, the learned and the righteous people, right? And so, and when they say we are unable to join them, what they meant is that they were unable to gain their company. They were unable to achieve the same status as them. They were unable to learn the same knowledge. Sometimes, you know, as mothers or as women here, we want to learn. Of course we do, right? But we have kids, we have responsibilities, we have work, right? We have so much. And I remember when my children were growing up, it was very difficult for me because I decided to move to a community where, mashallah, there were so many classes around me and I can go in person. But because my kids were born back to back, like literally back to back, I felt like I too had two sets of twins. I couldn't actually get up and go and sit in these beautiful company of teachers teaching us our deen, you know, and gaining from the blessing. And it just would, like, it was so hard for my nafs, right? So difficult for me to do that. And so this hadith kind of gives me a little bit of solace, right? If I knew back then, which I didn't, but now I do, that even though we want to be in the company of certain people, and we can't, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person will be with whom he loves, right? So your intention of wanting to be in that company, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the reward as if you were in that company. And inshallah, on the day of judgment, you will be gathered with those people, even if you haven't actually spent hours studying and learning and understanding or making that amount of ibadah that they were able to. So our intention is so important. But this hadith is like, so it's like a gift, right? So to know that I want to do this, maybe I want to do charity with these people and help people, or maybe I don't have the funds and the finances, but I do want to give in charity during the month of Ramadan, right? But knowing from this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as long as your intention is to be like them, you will gain the reward as if you've done the act, right? And on the Day of Judgment, you will be raised with those people that did the act. So the person who, usually there's always someone who narrates the hadith, and sahabas who were the companions around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to narrate the hadith. And some of them would write it down in parchment, in like palm leaves dried up, or they would memorize it. A lot of them memorize it, because in the Arab world, even though a lot of them were not literate, they were illiterate, they had very, very good memory. They would memorize poetry. They would memorize a lot of things. And maybe that's the tradition that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to keep going, where he always asks, you know, he gives so much reward to the one who memorizes the Quran, who's in hafiz, right? So we have a battle. So this hadith was narrated by Anas ibn Malik. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu was a little boy, and during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he migrated to Medina and he left Mecca, right? So when he was living in Mecca for about 13 years, the Quraysh made it very, very difficult for him, right? They tortured all of the Muslims, but they also threatened to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tried to assassinate him many, many times. And even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never wanted to leave Mecca, because it's his homeland, just like many of us lived somewhere, right? So it's going to end in like 15 seconds, and I'm just going to log out. So please try to log back in, inshallah, okay? So I was talking about the Sahabi that narrated this hadith. So that was Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and he was about 10 years old. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to leave Mecca and go to Medina, and he goes on foot. And when he gets there, there is about 500 family people who want to host him, right? Because before he went to Medina, many other Muslims, he had sent many other Muslims to go there and live there. And so many people became Muslim, and they welcomed him, right? And they all wanted to do anything good for him, you know, whether they were giving him a place to stay, whether they were giving food and money or whatever they had. And most of them had something to give. And Sulaim radiallahu anha was the mother of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who was a little boy. And she had nothing. She was very, very poor. And all she had was her kids that she was taking care of. And her oldest one was Anas radiallahu anhu. And she saw that there were so many people around just offering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a place to stay. They were trying to grab his camel and lead him to a place and wanting to do good. And so Sulaim radiallahu anhu, I mean, she had so much like goodness in her heart. She held her son's hand. She walked over to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she offered him as like to take care of him, right? To meet his needs, to be by his side, to help him in any way. She literally offered her child. And of course, it's not something negative. It's something beautiful, because even though she had nothing, she had her children. She had her son, and her son was a very bright, intelligent little boy. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, you know, loved kids so much so that when he was coming into the city, many of them were just waiting and singing, you know, that nasheed ala al-badru alayna, welcoming him to Medina. And so Anas radiallahu anhu was always by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's side. He would run to fetch water for him if he needed to make wudu. He would do all sorts of small little tasks. So much so that when he would enter in and out of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's home, people would believe, would think that he was in the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the household. They didn't know that he was just helping him out and serving him. But mashallah, like even after, so Anas radiallahu anhu became such an amazing sahabi that he was the third most, the person who memorized the most, right? So number three, number one was Abu Huraira, right? Number two was Abdullah ibn Umar, which was the son of the Umar radiallahu anhu. And number three was Anas bin Malik, who memorized 2,286 hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And even after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, because he only lived in Medina for 10 years. And so Anas was around the age of 20, right? Anas bin Malik lived a very long life, even beyond 100. But after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, every single night, Anas bin Malik would have a dream of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know that having a dream of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is as if it's true. It's not something that shaitan can take the form of. Shaitan can take any forms in our dream, but he cannot take the form of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we're ever blessed to be able to dream about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's like an immense blessing. I know little kids actually do that. If you ask your child, if when they're innocent and they know about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, most of the little kids will tell you, yeah, I dreamt of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I remember a son of mine, he had dreamt of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I said, you know, he was like a few years old, and I said, what did he look like? And it was so cute. And he knew it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like, no one had to tell him, like, who was that, you know? He said one side of him, he was glowing, first of all, right? He was filled with the nur and light. And one side of him was all green, and the other side was all like rainbow color. And I thought, wow, subhanAllah. And he even like told me like who he was with. He was with Umar radiallahu anhu, and he was with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And we know that those are the two companions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always with. And my son wasn't like totally familiar with these names, but he was able to say it. And so you know that it's a true dream. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an example, we need to know a few things, right? So the more we learn about who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, the easily we will be able to distinguish, you know, when we see him on the Day of Judgment. So when we pass away and we die and we are in our grave, there will be three questions we will be asked. We will be asked, who is your Lord, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is your deen, right? Islam. And the third question will be, who is this? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the picture of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to us. And we won't be able to speak, right? We won't be able to necessarily talk. But if we know who he was, and we practice his sunnah, we followed he understood what his characteristic was, we learned about him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, you know, you don't have to ask this person a question, because he is a part of my ummah. He practiced my sunnah, the habits that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, whether it was sitting down, whether it was saying bismillah and drinking water, whether it was smiling, right, whether it was being kind to children. These are all his sunnah acts. But if, la qadr Allah, we did not learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we did not know who he was, he will easily say, I don't know who he is, and he's not a part of my sunnah, la qadr Allah. We don't want that to happen. So I stand to speak on the best of Allah's creation, and I feel insignificant, inadequate, and to be able, you know, like, how can a mere, the mere words of an individual ever be able to accurately convey the characteristics of Allah's best creation?
right? How can, with all of the linguistics, you know, the capacities of a man ever be able to fathom the awesomeness of this beautiful individual, sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So with my limited vocabulary and my immense inadequacy to try to convey to you as accurately as I can within the sphere, you know, describe to you what this amazing light, this nur of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. But the goal, because we need to use him as an example, subhanAllah, is to become intimately close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And how do we become close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So through stories, right? Through shama'il, through understanding who he was, how he walked, what he looked like, how he spoke. So there's a story where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, during the time of around 13 years after he became a prophet, he was forced to leave his home, Mecca, right? He was forced to leave Mecca. He did not want to leave, but the Muslims were being persecuted. They were being threatened. They were being tortured. And even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life was at stake. You know, they threatened to kill him. They tried to assassinate him many times. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to migrate with two other companions. One that he intimately was close with, his best friend Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Amr ibn Fuhayra. And there were hundreds and hundreds of enemies right behind him, following him, trying to capture him because they were promised a ransom, a huge number, ransom for his, whether they brought him alive or dead. And so he's walking in this desert. And you can imagine like the vast desert, how barren it is. There's nothing, just miles and miles and hundreds of miles. All you see is sand, right? All you see is just this open horizon, no tree, no nothing. It's not like the way we live here, right? We live in a place where there are trees, there's water, there's valleys, there's streets, there's homes, there's everything. But in the desert, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking, migrating by foot to Medina, they were hungry, they were tired, and they were going through the hot, rugged terrain of Arabia. And so they finally saw a tent in the desert, and they see a door of the tent and a lady is sitting by it, a strong lady, because anyone who actually was able to survive or be able to deal with the desert, the rough desert, had to be strong. So this woman, her name was Mabat radiallahu anha. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked and said, "Ya Mabat, do you have anything for us to eat?" One of the greatest qualities of Arabs back in the days was their hospitability. And mashallah, like most of the Muslims that I know have that in them. Maybe it's something that we were blessed with, right? Someone comes into our home, we make sure that we give them water, we make sure that they have a comfortable place to sit, we make sure that we take care of them. Right, it's a sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam, because he was also a very hospitable person. He would take care of his guests. So the Arabs had this beautiful trait, even though they had many other not so great traits, right? So this woman, Mabat, says, you know, if I had anything, I would have given it to you. You know, and the way they would speak was, "May it be sacrificed for you. If I had anything, of course I would have given it to you." But they had nothing. They had gone through a drought. They were going through a drought, and her husband had just left with all the sheep and the goat to graze them out further away where there might be something to graze. And the only thing that was left was a tiny small baby goat tied up to the door of the tent. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that, and he said, can I milk that little goat? So the woman Mabit radiallahu anha said, "That little goat is so frail and so tired and so weak that I could not allow him to go with the other ones to graze because of his weakness and his frailness, and I was worried. He has nothing, you know, but if you want to try, go ahead." Now, if anyone knows anything about animals, they know that the only ones that give milk are the ones that are adults, right? That are, and this is a tiny baby goat. So they don't produce milk. So the Prophet ﷺ, this is a miracle that occurs, right? This is a blessing. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted the Prophet ﷺ. And this is not the first time. This has happened a few other times. He goes over to the baby goat and he puts his blessed hand on the udder and he says, Bismillah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills the udder with milk. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam milks the goat and he gets a full pot of milk. And the first drink, of course, he offers to the lady, Mabit. And the lady is amazed. She's just blown away. Like, how is it possible that you can milk a goat that's not even milkable? And so she drinks. And then the Prophet ﷺ offers out of his kindness, and this is the characteristic that he has, he offers it to his companions next. He's thirsty, he's hungry, he is tired, he's a prophet. You know, if he were to drink it, no one would say anything negative, but he offers it to others. And these are the little small things he teaches us, right? And his companions drink to their fill. And then lastly, the Prophet ﷺ takes a drink and the pot is empty. So then he milks the goat again and fills up the pot and leaves the pot for Mabit. And he rests for a little bit afterwards because they're exhausted. The Prophet ﷺ was always known to take qailula, which is the midday nap. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he leaves with his companions, and afterwards, Mabit's husband comes back from grazing all the goats and the sheep far away, and he's shocked at the sight of the milk, because he knows like they have nothing, they're going through a drought, and he asks, he says, "Where did this milk come from?" And she says, "A blessed man came to visit us. And he says, describe him to me." And this is a Bedouin lady, but she has so much eloquence in her speech. And she says, "I saw a man of striking appearance, radiant face in the middle of the desert." Like, when I walk outside in my garden and I'm wearing flip-flops and I move around and do some gardening, and even if I just walk around and do nothing, all of a sudden I look disheveled. You know, the wind is blowing my hair, ruining everything, right? I do not look radiant, right? I may feel radiant, but I don't look it. We're talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the middle of the desert, walking, living there. But yet, he does not look disheveled. He always looks radiant and glowing, and like his the bottom of the sole of his feet was always described as being smooth. You know, water would just flow, and so this is a miracle, a beautiful characteristic of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this journey that they're going through is a difficult one. So his face was radiant, right? Aisha radiallahu anha, his wife, one night was sewing with a needle, and she dropped the needle in the dark, and she couldn't find it. And she told her husband, "Ya Rasulullah, I can't find it." The Prophet ﷺ moved his head closer to her, and his face that came close to it just was full of nur and full of light and radiance, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is nur upon nur, full of light. And so Aisha radiallahu anha was able to find the needle after that. And this Umm Mabit also describes the Prophet and says he was created beautifully, right? And so I'm going to end here, inshallah, but we're going to try to continue this once a week, inshallah. I plan to continue the seerah, and I hope that people will benefit, inshallah. Please keep us in your du'as. I love teaching the seerah, and I've been teaching it to young teenagers for many, many years. And I feel like, inshallah, maybe we could benefit, all benefit, right? If I have a little bit of time, I want to dedicate it to something beautiful, as knowing who the Prophet ﷺ, so we can know who he is, we could love him, we could realize how much he has loved and done for us. And inshallah, through that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy upon all of us, inshallah. Thank you for joining me, Maliha Teaches, for a Muslim Health Talk. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and so much more. All of our links can be found on Linktree Muslim Health Talk. Assalamu alaikum.